She doesn't look anywhere nearly old enough to be celebrating 25 years in the music business, but here she is on top of the world after a quarter century in a business that can be brutal, exhilarating, grueling, uplifting, everything and nothing. It is not a life for the timid, and certainly no one would ever describe my guest, Tracy Walker, as timid. Good evening for WVXU. I'm Elaine Dio. And Tracy Walker, it's about time you got here and played some music. Welcome.
I'm really, really happy to be here, so thank you for opening the door.
Let's kick it off with a tune.
Okay, all right. This one's called I Know.
So she gathered up her best intentions, went marching proudly out the door. I know that there's love out there for me. I know I'll see it out.
If you've been anywhere where there's live music in Cincinnati or Northern Kentucky over the last 25 years, you know that voice. My guest is Tracy Walker. Tracy, in your bio, it refers to your soaring alto demanding of attention. And right away, I was struck by the contradiction between soaring and alto. Have you made it your life's work to defy categorization?
No, I think I just accidentally don't know where I'm supposed to be. So I've just always kind of done what I felt moved to do. And I guess I probably have tried to defy it sometimes. I always hated that as a kid. You know, when I was very young, I could run around in the summer with no shirt on until I was about 9. And then, you know, girls have to put shirts on. And I cannot tell you how infuriating that was for me. So, yeah.
That one never did seem fair.
No, it still doesn't.
Well, let's go back. Everybody knows you as the musician, but let's tell, you know, the quick annotated version of the Tracy Walker story. Where were you born and how did you end up in Cincinnati?
Okay. I was born in England. My father was a civilian Air Force employee, and he was over there for about 5 years and met and married my mother. And I and one of my sisters were born in England. And then when we came to the United States, I was about three, and we lived in Seattle and Sacramento. And then up around Dayton and Yellow Springs. And in my very early 20s, I moved here to Cincinnati. And I've never figured out how to leave. There's luck to keep me here.
Well, we're kind of glad to have you here. Do you have professional training or is it all self-taught?
Well, I wouldn't call it professional. It's not all self-taught. Some of my most important lessons, I think, about singing, I learned back in the fourth and fifth grade in the school choir. Our teacher, choir director, Mrs. Brunsman, you know, she took it very seriously, and we had to work our diaphragm and understand what that was and know how to support your voice. And then I've learned things from other musicians that I've just come to know over the years, Wilbur Longmire and Kelly Ritchie and Casey Phelps, who was my first sort of bandmate in Ain't Helen many years ago. So I've just picked up a lot of things along the way.
Let's talk about Ain't Helen, because that was pretty radical. An all-girl band here in Cincinnati in, what, 90s?
Yeah, it was the 90s, 25 years ago. Well, I was writing poetry and just writing, and I had, from time to time, sat in with some band in town and sang a song, you know, and I realized I really liked doing that. So I was decided I wanted to sing and I wanted to perform. And I was at a performance where Casey Phelps was singing, and she played the guitar and had this sort of Janis Joplin kind of style about her singing. And she wrote her own songs. And I went up to her afterwards and I told her I liked what she did and asked her if she'd help me. And she said, sure. And what started out as helping me became a 5-year band experience with her, which was a duo and then trio and actually a 4-piece before we called it quits. And then I just sort of became Tracy Walker on my own.
And you guys were everywhere. I mean, all of a sudden, who was Helen?
Helen was Casey's great aunt. And we were trying to think of a name. And we were so fiercely focused on being independent, not waiting for a record deal and not even feeling like we needed to get that kind of validation. We just wanted to make music. And Casey had a photograph of her great aunt Helen on her refrigerator, and she was sitting on a horse. And she also had a recording, apparently, with the incline trams that used to go up and down the hills. At one or both ends, there were these booths where you could sing and record your voice. So she had a little clip of her great aunt singing. And Aunt Helen referred to herself, she lived in Kentucky, as Aunt Helen, and that is where Aunt Helen came from. And she seemed like the perfect image for us to, you know, she seemed fiercely independent and doing her own thing.
I got to tell you, as a young woman wanting to get into the scene, I just thought you guys were incredibly fierce.
Thank you.
And I wasn't wrong. So from Aunt Helen, you've gone on to do the solo thing. You do some duo stuff, some acoustic stuff, and you do a full band setting. You do it all. What's the best configuration?
Well, you know, I started out doing some solo stuff even while I was with Aunt Helen, because I wanted to be able to perform whenever I wanted to. I didn't want to have to rely on other people. I always wanted to be able to say yes to a gig if I wanted it. So I figured out how to perform on my own. And what I learned through that is that it made me better in the group to be better as an individual. So that was a great sort of side thing to come from it. But I really prefer to play with other people. It just brings so much more to the music and to the experience. You know, music is really, I don't know, largely communication for me. And so having other people on the stage is great.
Did you always write songs?
No, I mean, I was dabbled in writing from time to time, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't sit in my room every day and write. In fact, I've always, I think, had a little bit of a focus problem. So I kind of would write and then I'd go out and do something else and I'd go in the garage and build a table or I don't know, just kind of all over the place.
What's the biggest difference between singing a song that you wrote versus interpreting someone else's work?
Writing my own songs comes from my own experience or my own observation of, you know, life or so forth. So it's, I'm immediately connected to it. But singing other people's songs sometimes have to be a little more thoughtful about finding that connection or personal relevance so that it becomes, I think, worth doing. I wouldn't sing a cover song that I didn't feel connected to, because I think we can hear that in the music. I think a lot of times that's just what makes a difference between a good performance or a good song and not, is if the performer is actually connected to the emotion and the message in the song.
So if I go to a Tracy Walker show, it's not likely I'll hear you covering a Taylor Swift song.
Well, I have a newfound respect for Taylor Swift. I've been doing some after-school singing stuff with some young kids in elementary and middle school, and it's sort of a karaoke setup, and a lot of them really like Taylor Swift. So I have listened to a lot of Taylor Swift songs, and I like Taylor Swift, and I appreciate what appears to be she's in charge of what she's doing, I think she's fierce.
You got another tune for us?
Yeah, I do. This one I haven't recorded yet, but it is one of my kind of new favorites that I do. And it's, about being in love and maybe feeling like you're a little bit ahead of the other person in the relationship. So, but, you know, it's all good. Slow ride.
I'm Elaine Deal, visiting with Tracy Walker, having a great time this evening. And disclaimer, Tracy and I have spent many hours off the air discussing relationships
in depth. Wow. Yes, we have.
We haven't solved all of the problems of the world, but we've delved into it. So music is your full-time gig. What kind of challenges does that present for having relationships?
Well, you know, right now it's not full-time. I've gone in and out of that because I have a mortgage to pay. But
dogs to feed.
Dogs to feed, yeah. And I like to eat out. So one of the things about music that's different from some other work is that you're sort of always interviewing for the next job constantly. When you looking for the next gig, you got to prove yourself again and again and again and say, this is what I do and this is why I should, you know, I'd like to be here. So that makes it different from a lot of other kind of work where you sort of get settled into something and then you just get to do your thing.
It's a lot of pressure on the time too, if you're dating somebody who has the 9-to-5 and you're out working evenings.
Yeah, I've never been eager to just constantly be touring. And that's part of the reason for that. I like to be present for relationships and my dogs and just, you know, friendships. I think if you're gone all the time, it's very difficult. And, you know, I don't want everything in my life to be transient.
And you love Cincinnati.
I do love Cincinnati. It's got great things happening. And we have a great music scene, in which we probably, you know, it's like most things when you're in it, there's a tendency to take it for granted. But we do really have a great music scene and a great original music scene. There are lots of places that where original music is featured. So it's quite healthy.
It's a good city to live in, but it's not perfect. And you've never been shy about participating in political and social activism. What's got you goat these days?
Wow. Well, I guess probably the first thing that jumps out is with all of the development in over the Rhine and downtown, there's very few music venues. And the ones that are there have been there for a while, Motor Pub and Japs and Woodward Theater. Not that, I mean, I'm thrilled that they are still there. I would like to see more music opportunity, live music opportunity in the rest of over the Rhine and downtown.
You've seen a lot of barriers get knocked down over 25 years in the business. Did you think we'd come this far? Did you hope?
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things about Cincinnati that I recognize, and maybe part of the reason I've stayed here as long as I have, is that there are a lot of people here who are forward-thinking and willing to work together to make things better. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that things are always improving.
What do you see as some of the challenges we still need to take on?
I feel that Cincinnati has farther to go in terms of people coming together. I often feel that Cincinnati is a very still ethnically segregated town. And of course, I'd love to see the East Side, West Side divide, the figurative divide, come to an end for people to come together. That was a strange thing to me when I first moved here. I'm like, it's all Cincinnati. What? Well, I see it. Come together, people. Come together. And don't be afraid to cross the river. There's Northern Kentucky, too, which is really awesome. And coming the other way.
Tracy, you said the last song that you just did hasn't been recorded yet. Is that any kind of clue as to, are you spending any time in the studio? Got any plans for a new record?
Well, yes, I do. I'm not in the studio yet, but we'll be very shortly. So that song will be recorded. And then also, because this is 25 years, it's about time to do a live, good live recording. So we're going to do some live recording too, both probably solo as well as with the band. I think that's the best way to capture us.
Is it easier or harder 25 years in?
Wow. Some things are easier because I know what I'm doing, although I don't, because the music industry is changing all the time. So there's new things to learn all the time. But there's a lot about what I do that I'm very comfortable with that I might not have been, especially the first time I ever tried to play the guitar and sing at the same time. I was terrified. So I don't get nervous very often. Occasionally, though, I do. And the things that are harder is when I have to haul all the sound gear in and out. I understand why roadies are paid to do what they do, because that gets to, after 25 years, it's like, gosh, do I have to really have to bring the sound system in? And because you always get your knuckles bruised and there's extra time. And after you're finished playing for 3 hours or four in some cases, the last thing you want to have to do is tear down a sound system and put it in the car and then take it home and take it out.
And do it.
Do it all over again.
It was that Jackson Browne song. Suddenly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Music has been your livelihood and it's been your entertainment. It's also been therapy for you, gotten you through some rough times, you've said.
Yeah. Writing and performing, it's emotional and it's been a very good way, I hope healthy way, for me to process some emotions about relationships. Or it was very helpful back in 99 when my mother died. And isn't just the writing and my part of the performance. What I get out of performing is connection with people. My bandmates have criticized me quite a bit because for a long time I wouldn't write a set list. So they never knew what song was coming up next and so forth. So they kept, you should write a set list, you should write a set list. So I started writing set lists, which they don't know the names of the songs. So that really wasn't a lot of help. Because, you know, the bass player says, was it the one that goes doo-dee-doo? And the drummer's got his own. Anyway, so no, they're great people and great people to play with. But the reason I wasn't writing the set list was because I would often find that I would play a song based on kind of how I was feeling or what energy was coming from the audience. And I still do that. So even though I do write set lists now most of the time, there's still a lot of changing of that that goes on in the moment.
It's more like a guideline.
Yeah, it's a guideline. Yeah.
Well, JC, I'm greedy. I would keep you here all night long, but I know you got to move on. I am going to beg you to do one more tune for us before you split.
Okay, I'll do it. Happy to. This one I originally wrote back, well, for City Beat, for a holiday message they were trying to get out when the economy was not doing so well, and wanted to keep people, you know, upbeat and also shopping, keeping their money in the local economy. And so this song accompanied their slideshow, and the United Way of Greater Cincinnati has used it, and a couple of other folks. So the song's called Who We Are.
Don't take for granted all the seeds that are planted, gardens are blooming in your own backyard. Darkness, well, they're part of the process. You know if you're strong when a day comes along, when you must stand up. 'Cause it's a smile on our face that makes us who we are, makes us who we are. And it's the truth in our embrace that makes us who we are, makes us who we are. And it's the voice in our plan that makes us who we are, makes us who we are. And it's the touch of our hand. It may be unpaid
when you begin a conversation with Tracy Walker, you never have a clue where it's going to end up. Working without a set list, usually working without a net. The divine Tracy Walker celebrating 25 years.
Thank you.
Gosh, Tracy Walker still has a lot to say, I suspect.
Well, yeah. I used to get in trouble for talking too much in school, so at least now I get to talk whenever I want to and sometimes get paid for it, so it's kind of nice.
And now you kind of have that little elder statesman status.
Yeah.
Hey, she's Tracy Walker. We can't mess with her.
But I'm not done. Still doing it.
Not even close to done. 25 years and just getting started. We will link you to Ms. Walker's information, upcoming gigs, CDs, music, and more through our website, wbxu.org. My guest has been Tracy Walker, celebrating 25 years of making music. 25 years that we in Cincinnati have been so lucky to call her our own. Tracy, here's to your next quarter century.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Josh Elstro, for engineering. For WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal.